It was a very hot Southern California afternoon in August 2007, but thank the Lord, I was preaching in a nicely air-conditioned church with about 1,000 people in attendance. The pastor was gone on vacation to Europe. I had preached at this church 4 times previously, and I was enjoying the morning immensely. While making a point in my message, I rather offhandedly mentioned that I was on an antidepressant, and I urged people who were struggling with anxiety and/or depression to check out this avenue of help. Well, my point was like teeing off a golf ball in the shower. It quickly ricocheted right back at me. As soon as the service ended, 2 elders rushed me into a back room and told me in no uncertain terms that their church did not believe in such medications. I was never invited back. The disciplines of psychiatry and psychology are widely rejected by evangelicals. As one Christian leader put it, true psychology, the study of the soul, can be done only by Christians, since only Christians have the resources for the understanding and the transformation of the soul. Since the secular discipline of psychology is based on godless assumptions and evolutionary foundations, it is capable of dealing with people only superficially and only on the temporal level. Scripture is the manual for all soul work. In stark contrast to this approach, consider the words of John Wesley. To imagine none can teach you but those who are themselves saved from sin is a very great and dangerous mistake. Give not place to it for a moment. In valuing extra-biblical knowledge, our brothers and sisters throughout church history were merely following common sense and Scripture itself. Repeatedly, Scripture acknowledges the wisdom of cultures outside Israel, for example, Egypt, Isaiah chapter 19, verses 11 through 13, the Edomites, Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 7, the Phoenicians, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 2, and many, many others. The remarkable achievements produced by human wisdom are acknowledged in Job chapter 28, verses 1 through 11. The wisdom of Solomon is compared to that of all the people of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt to show that it surpassed that of people with a long-standing, well-deserved reputation for wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 29 through 34. Paul approvingly quotes pagan philosophers. Acts chapter 17, verse 28. And Jude cites the non-canonical book Assumption of Moses in Jude, verse 9. The book of Proverbs is filled with examples in which knowledge, even moral and spiritual knowledge, can be gained from studying things, for example, ants in the natural world. Once Jesus taught that we should know we are to love our enemies, not on the basis of an Old Testament text, but from careful reflection on how the sun and rain behave. Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 through 45. We can and must cultivate a Christian approach to anxiety and depression. But in that tilling, we may also include the study of extra-biblical knowledge that supplements and does not contradict Scripture. I believe naysayers make 2 mistakes. 1, they have seen abuses of all truth is God's truth and have thrown the baby out with the bathwater. And 2, they fail to see the implications of a biblical view of the human person for developing and sustaining mental health. Regarding the first mistake, all truth is God's truth, has sometimes been used as a slogan to justify revising the Bible to fit a claim to truth that is not within a legitimate interpretation of Scripture. When it comes to psychology,